What does the scripture say about the one world government? What major nations will play a part? These questions and more will be answered on today's show.
This show is dedicated to making Bible prophecy simple and equipping you with the knowledge of end time events. We want you to be ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Bible Prophecy Show.
It's a great day to have you join us on the Bible Prophecy Show. My name is Brian Gogler, and with me today, as always, Reverend Brian Smith.
Good to be here.
You know, I'm excited to announce that we have visitors to our website now that come from over 40 nations across the world.
Wow. You know, we're sitting here doing this in our studio and reaching around the world. We didn't have to buy a plane ticket to do it.
That's
didn't
right.
Have to travel anywhere. God is so good.
Yeah. You know, there's been times where I woke up in the morning and I got on my computer and it showed all the people that listened to our podcast and visited. That was amazing. I was sleeping and yet we were still spreading the gospel.
Well, you know, we've had over 500 downloads within our first month, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Really excited about that.
We're in over 46 nations, I think, now.
Oh, is that right? Wow. Uh-huh.
And we're in almost all the U.S. states. We have a few that are not. We're not reaching yet, but it won't be long.
That's right. Well, you know, that really ties into today's topic because what we're going to discuss today, it's commonly discussed by saints or sinners or even lost sheep.
Yeah.
You know, we do. We do often see signs in the news that our government is focusing less on our national independence and more on joining other countries on a more global scale.
We're fastly approaching a one world government. We know the Bible prophesies. And first of all, somebody said, well, what's so bad about that? Except for we read the back of the book and we know who's going to take control of that.
Oh, yeah.
A man called the Antichrist. And so he's bad news. And, you know, a lot of people don't know how to explain all these things, Bible prophecies, and share them. And that's okay, because if you can send one of our Bible prophecy podcast shows to them, if you can click send, we've done all the heavy lifting for you.
That's great. You're right. Also, rate and review us after you listen to today's show and follow us on our Bible Prophecy Show Facebook page. We have new content coming out all the time.
We do, and we also want to say thank you to all of our supporters who pray for us and supporting us financially as well. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. And we want to encourage you to let us know what parts of our show that you enjoy. You can go to the Bible Prophecy Show website, which is BibleProphecyShow.com. And you can fill out a form there and let us know what you enjoy about the show or what you'd like to see us change about the show.
Maybe they like the Bible trivia part. Could be.
I like your personal applications that you do so well on those.
Oh, thank you very much. I think a lot enjoy how you take the text and make it so simple and easy to understand, something that could be otherwise complicated.
Well, I'd certainly try, but I think one of my favorite is the joke of the day.
All right. You got a joke?
I do, man. I'm loaded with jokes.
This is great.
How did Adam and Eve feel when they were expelled from the Garden of Eden?
How did they feel? I don't know.
Well, they really felt put out. Not even in laugh.
Just kidding. That's good. Well, I had a listener say, do you all practice all that stuff? I said, I don't know the joke of the day before it comes.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm hearing it for the first time in the recording.
When he doesn't even giggle, you know, like, that was a terrible joke.
I don't always get it.
Well, I have another one here for you.
Today, right now?
I do.
Okay, bring it.
What did they do about it? When they got kicked out, what did they do about it? Out of the Garden of Eden.
You have no idea.
They raised Cain.
That's a good one there.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. That one I like. I like that part.
I'm going to have two ready from now on because if one doesn't do it.
That was a follow-up one, so even better.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive right in because we're talking about the one world government of the end times, and this really is applicable to all of us.
It really is. We'll do a quick recap of Daniel chapter 7. From our previous podcast, we learned that the lion from Daniel 7 represented the nation of Great Britain. The eagle represented the United States of America. The bear is Russia. The four-headed leopard is Germany. And the four wings of a fowl on the back of the leopard represented France. We also discussed the ten-horned beast and that it represented the last world empire or one world government that is soon to come. But there's a lot we can learn about this one world government that we have not talked about yet. So let's go ahead and dive right in. If you have Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, we can go ahead and start there.
Sure. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
Okay, first of all, it's obvious that much of Revelation was written in symbols. Mm-hmm. And in this verse, that's certainly the case. But they're symbols that can be understood. We don't have to guess, because Scripture interprets Scripture many times. The Bible actually tells us what these things mean. So let's take a look at verse 1. First of all, John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Now, we're not talking about your spouse. We're not talking about your child that you have not tamed yet.
No.
A beast in Bible prophecy always represents a kingdom or a nation, along with the ruler of that nation. How do we know? Well, as we learned in our last few episodes, Daniel 7:23 and Daniel 7:17 gives us clues as to what a beast means in Bible prophecy. Do you happen to have Daniel 7:23?
Yes, Daniel 7:23 states, the fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom.
Okay, so it plainly tells us that a beast in Bible prophecy represents a kingdom or a nation. Daniel 7:17 also says this,
these four beasts represent four kings that shall arise.
Okay, so we can conclude right off the bat that a beast in Bible prophecy represents both a kingdom or a nation, along with the ruler of that nation. So John is seeing in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13 a vision of this beast or this nation, which we will soon identify as the one world government of the Antichrist. But before we do that, we need to finish this verse. John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast or a nation and its ruler rise up out of the sea. But we really need to figure out what this word sea is all about, because, you know, again, we don't have to guess. The Bible interprets the Bible for us. Revelation chapter 17 tells us that there is a woman that sits upon many waters, essentially the sea. If you have, Brother Brian, Revelation 17, verse 15, we can read that.
Yeah, it says, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
Okay, so the harlot was sitting on the waters, or, you know, the seas, and it represented many peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it's talking about world domination, many nations, many peoples, many tongues. So in verse 1 of Revelation 13, John is seeing this nation and its ruler rise up out of humanity. And it governs many peoples, many nations, many languages. It goes on to say, and the beast had seven heads and ten horns. What are these seven heads and these ten horns? A beast represents a nation, right? And its ruler. But multiple heads on a beast represent the number of times that a nation will rise and fall. We discovered that back when we talked about the nation of Germany. It had four Reichs, four risings, four times that it fell and rose again. So this is a prophecy about the one world government beast, or the one world government empire, which the Antichrist will rule, and it will control many peoples, many nations, many languages. But since it has seven heads, we can also realize that this is a total of seven world empires that will rise and fall throughout history. Okay, so in this case, speaking of the last one world government, its headquarters will be located in a place known as a city on seven hills. How do we know? In Revelation chapter 17, we see the same seven-headed, ten-horned beast that we see in Revelation 13. Only there in verse 9 and 10, this is what it has to say.
It says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth.
Okay, so the scripture says very plainly that the seven heads represent seven mountains. And someone may say, well, then how can it represent the fact that there are seven rises and seven falls? Well, we just learned that a beast in Bible prophecy represents more than one thing. It represents two things, a ruler and the nation. This is also has a double meaning. The amount of times a world dominating force, a one world government, has risen and fallen, but it also represents seven mountains. Okay, moving on. The scripture says, and there are seven kings, Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. Now remember, we're not just talking about kings, but this is also representing the nation, the kingdom. And in this particular chapter, we're talking about world-dominating empires over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this is one world governments that are forming.
Gotcha.
Five of them, there are seven total, five of them have fallen, one is, and one is not yet come. So we see seven world empires rising and falling in Revelation 13, along with its ruler and its king. And the last empire or world government is located in Rome or Europe.
All right.
So the scripture says this nation, speaking of world empires, has fallen five times. One of them exists now, as in the day of John the Apostle when he wrote this in AD 95. One is, and one is not yet come. What does all this mean? It sounds very confusing when you first, you know, it's a lot to unpack.
Sure.
But there were five world empires that preceded the time of John. This is in your history books, by the way, which is further proof that God knows everything.
That's right.
The first empire was the Egyptian Empire. The second was the Syrian Empire. Then the Babylonian Empire was the third. The Medo-Persian Empire was the fourth. The fifth was the Grecian Empire. And then the current world empire in John's day was the Roman Empire. This is why we saw Roman soldiers at the crucifixion of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it says the last one, the one we are studying today, is not yet come. Speaking of the Holy Roman Empire, which had not yet come as of the time of John's writing the book of Revelation in 95 AD. Sure. So the Holy Roman Empire did come to power eventually around 800 AD, and it died in 1806. But it was just reborn in September 2009 under the Lisbon Treaty. This is where the European Union has unified as a kind of United States of Europe. And scripture says they will be in power at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, for a long time, we've went around and said, well, United States of America is the sole superpower. But the United States of Europe, if, as you will, the European Union, they have 500 million people versus our 330 million people. You may say, well, we have nukes. Well, France has nukes, and they're a part of that system. So the European Union has nukes as well. You may say, well, we have the American dollar. Well, the euro is just as strong as the American dollar. Some even put it as stronger.
That's true.
So you're talking about a nation that has more people, has nukes, and has a strong financial base.
That's right.
So let's look at Revelation 17, verses 10 through 13. If you don't mind reading that first verse there.
I'll read it, and if you want to interject anything, that's okay. Great. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
Okay, so a short space is 3.5 years. It's talking about the Antichrist that will rule this one world government. So that's what Revelation 13 is all about. It's the one world government of the Antichrist. He's the beast, and this is his nation, and it's a world dominating nation, a one world government. It sets on many peoples, tongues, and nations. Okay, if you could continue that verse, Brother Brian.
And the beast that was...
Okay, that's speaking of the Holy Roman Empire, the beast that was.
And is not.
Okay, in that it ceased to exist. The Holy Roman Empire only lasted from 800 AD to 1806, and then it stopped. It is not. It ceased to exist.
Even he is the eighth.
Okay, so he, the Holy Roman Empire, is the eighth world empire.
And is of the seven.
Okay, so it's one of the previous world empires.
And goeth into perdition.
Goeth into perdition. Perdition simply means great sin. Okay, so you have seven kings, seven world governments. Five of them are fallen. One of them is. One of them is not yet come. When he cometh, when the Holy Roman Empire cometh, he's going to exist for a little while. Then he's going to cease to exist. But he's going to be reborn, which will make it the eighth world empire. It's got to be one of the seven previous world empires, Remember which ones we had for the seven world empires. We had the Egyptian, Syrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman Empire of John's day. And then we had one that had not yet come, the Holy Roman Empire. But this scripture says, look, one of these is going to be basically born again, and it's going to go into great, great sin.
Wow.
So let's read the next verse about this and discover what we can learn about this nation that's going into sin.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
Okay, so this one world government that the Antichrist is going to rule is going to be one of the seven previous world empires. And that's why there's seven heads on this beast, because there's seven world empires. One of these seven world empires is going to exist and then not exist, and then it's going to exist again. It's going to go into great sin, and it's going to be very easy to spot this one world government when it comes, because it's going to have a unification of 10 kings. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. These 10 kings are going to unify, and they're going to receive no kingdom as yet, but they're going to receive power as kings 1 hour, or for a short time with the beast. Now, that term 1 hour doesn't mean literally 1 hour.
Right.
It just means they're not going to rule for this long period of time. They're only going to rule for a little while with the beast. And the final verse, Brother Brian.
These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
Okay, so the Holy Roman Empire was the seventh world empire. Scripture says it will cease to exist, which it did, and it will be reborn, which it recently was, with the Lisbon Treaty. The European Union is basically the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire, and it must be one of the previous seven world empires, which the Holy Roman Empire was.
That's right.
Which makes the rebirth of that Holy Roman Empire the eighth world dominating empire, or one world government. One may ask the question, why did not the scripture say that this was an eight-headed beast? If this is going to be eight world governments, why is it seven heads? Well, actually, because it's just one of the previous empires that has been reborn. It's not like, you know, it's a new altogether world government.
Gotcha.
It's a Holy Roman Empire that's been born again. And so it's really one of those seven world empires just reborn. But it makes it the eighth time that we've had a one world government since the beginning of man.
Oh, that makes sense.
So as soon as this revived Holy Roman Empire, which right now we call the European Union, it may be called the Holy Roman Empire before this is all said and done.
Who knows?
Yeah. But scripture says they're going to go into deep sin and blasphemy. They'll have 10 kings, which will give their power to this one world government, this last one world government of the Antichrist. They will fight against Jesus Christ, according to scripture, at his second coming. If you don't mind reading Revelation 17, verses 12 through 14, it'll give us a picture of this.
And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour,
or a short time,
with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast,
unto this world empire.
These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Okay, so we don't have time to dive into it today, but we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be in the middle of this event called the Battle of Armageddon. And right in the middle of this event, Jesus Christ comes. And so basically, these 10 kings, this one world government of the Antichrist, is going to be in power when Jesus Christ returns at the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to fight against Jesus, but they're going to lose.
That's right.
Because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Praise
and
God.
Nobody defeats Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. And so now it's time for Bible trivia.
Trivia. All right. Well, we start out with your favorite part, the scale.
The scale.
Yes. That is where we find out kind of where we fit in. Our theme today is your spiritual transportation vehicle.
Ooh.
That's something new. Here's what it means. Every time you get something correct, you get a point. So on the scale, 1 or 2 points. What does that mean, 1 or 2 points?
You're moving like a camel. I should have said a snail.
Yeah, like camelback speed, right? Because we're talking transportation. I got that. All right. Now, if you get 3 or 4 points correct, that means...
You're like a galloping horse.
All right.
Making progress.
Yeah, that's a lot faster.
Yeah.
Now, if you get 5 or 6 points, that means...
You have the need for speed. Nice. Your Corvette or Lamborghini.
Yeah, that's speed there. Yeah. All right. Now, if you get 7 or more points...
You're flying high in the sky.
Wow.
F-15 Eagle Jet Fighter.
Man, those things go like 1,600 miles an hour. It's incredible. All right. But there's one more point in the scale we have to mention.
Zero. Get zero?
Well, yeah. If you don't get any... it's like you're riding on the back of a giant tortoise, a turtle.
Man, that is slow.
Yeah. Got to fall on your knees and pray today.
Go read your Bible.
Definitely. Okay. So we're going to do something a little bit different. In today's trivia, we're going to do memory challenge.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I know. How good is your memory? We're going to read this. Actually, we're reading Acts chapter 19. Mm-hmm. We're going to read a little passage, and then we're going to come back and ask the questions when we come back.
I see.
And you get a point for what you remember.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to, and just to give a little hint, I'm not going to tell you all the questions we're going to ask, but just something to think about. You're definitely going to want to listen to who were the apostles mentioned and where was the location and maybe what did people say or how did they respond. That's okay. The only hints we're given. All right. All right. Let's just dive in. Acts chapter 19. Remember, listen to the details. All right. We're going to start with verse.
You know, after COVID, I don't know how well these people are going to do listening. If you're old or if you're COVID stricken,
yeah,
you may not do so well.
All right. Well, let's go. I'll start the first two verses. You go 3 or 4. And all okay, right. Verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost."
And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus."
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
And all the men were about 12.
Okay, hope you were listening, because we're going to come back with Bible trivia, see how many you can remember, test your memory. But right now, let's dive right back into this one world government, because we've got some good stuff here. Maybe recap for a moment, and then let's move on.
Absolutely. So this is the one world government of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will take control of a one world government, according to your Bible, very soon. And we want to know what's coming and what we could be looking out for. So recapping, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Go ahead, brother.
Let me read 1 and 2, and if you want to interject, that's fine.
Okay.
Verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast."
I saw a beast, or a world-dominating empire, one world government.
"Rise up out of the sea."
Or out of humanity.
"Having 7 heads.
So 7 world empires and the last world empire from Rome or from Europe.
"And 10 horns.
10 kings are going to unify in this last one world empire or government.
"And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy."
These 10 kings ruling with the Antichrist, they're going to commit blasphemy. They're going to come against Jesus Christ, say that he's not God, say that you shouldn't worship him as God, but that you should worship this politician, this man, this Antichrist, as God instead.
All right.
Okay, now let's look at the next verse, if you have verse number 2.
Right, yes, Brian? I do. Verse 2. "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority."
Okay, so this is an interesting beast, to say the least. It's got the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. So what does all this mean? It's got the body of a leopard. Do you remember what nation is symbolized by the leopard?
Germany.
Okay, so the power base of this one world government beast, its home base, if you will, is Germany.
Okay.
So this is a European one world government.
Sure.
This is how we know that Russia is not ruling the world, or, you know, the Muslims are not ruling the one world government, or the United States of America, or China. This is a European one-world government. The body of it was the leopard. The feet were the feet of a bear. Do you remember what the bear represented?
Russia.
So Russia and their army is the mobilizing unit of this one-world government beast. That makes sense because at the Battle of Armageddon, it is Russia that is leading the charge against the nation of Israel.
Hmm.
And then it says that the mouth was the mouth of a lion. Most people don't realize this, but the international language of choice has already been chosen by the globalists, by the one world government leaders of the earth. They have chosen that English will be the official language of the world. If you are a pilot and you fly international flights, you will not be hired. You cannot fly international flights unless you speak English.
I see.
And of course, John sees not only the 10 kings, but the ruler of that world government, which is the Antichrist. He sees the false prophet, the religious partner of the Antichrist, here in Revelation 13. And further, John sees the financial system of this one world government. We know that as?
Well, the mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast. We call it 666. Everybody's heard of 666 and the mark of the beast. Let's read Revelation 13 and 3, if you will.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast.
Okay, so some people have taught that the Antichrist, when he comes, he must be killed and then resurrected again. But that is not what Scripture said. Remember, a beast in Bible prophecy represents a nation, along with the ruler of that nation. So it very well could be talking about a nation that was destroyed and then reborn. And it says one of its seven heads was wounded unto death, and its deadly wound was healed. So what's it talking about? Well, if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, we see that there are seven heads or several nations that you have. And we look at them and we have to ask, was any of those nations wounded unto death and then healed, or basically kind of destroyed as a nation and then reborn? And in Daniel 7, we do have several heads, and you mentioned those a while ago.
Yeah, the lion obviously would have a head, the bear, Russia, the four heads of the leopard, which is Germany and its four Reichs, and then the head of the ten-horned beast, which is yet to come.
Perfect. So is there any of those nations that was wounded unto death but was restored as a national power?
Yes, there was, after World War II.
Absolutely. So Adolf Hitler and the German people, they had led for the third time the entire world into a war within the past 100 years. And so Germany instigated the Franco-German War of 1870. They instigated World War I, and in the course, Hitler's World War II. So the Allies said, there's something wrong with the German psyche, the people, their mindset. They keep plunging the world into war. We've got to stop this from happening again. So they cut Germany in half. They erected what they called the wall, the Berlin Wall. They called it the Iron Curtain. And the Allies made an East Germany and a West Germany, but they did it with the intention of weakening Germany to the point that they could never rise to power again, because they knew if they rise to power again, they're just going to keep doing what they've done. They're going to somehow get the whole world in a war again. Last time that happened, 52 million people died.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But did they rise again? Absolutely.
Yes.
Because the Berlin Wall came tumbling down. Time magazine described the fall of the Berlin Wall. They said it was a wound. This is what Time magazine called the Berlin Wall, a wound through the heart of the European civilization, and it is finally gone. USA Today called it, before it fell, the Berlin Wall, a 29-mile wound that just won't heal.
Wow.
Now, that's interesting because the Bible called this a deadly wound that was healed. And since the healing of the wound, meaning Germany was reunited, it became a nation again, that the birth of the New World Order from that point on would begin. And since the healing of the Berlin Wall and the reunification of Germany, over and over and over again, we begin to hear about this New World Order, the birth of the New World Order.
That's right, we do.
Let's read Revelation 13 and 3, if you have it.
And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast.
So as soon as the deadly wound was healed, all the world wandered after the beast. So the fall of the Berlin Wall not only healed the wounded nation of Germany, but it also marked the time frame in which the world leaders began to announce this new world order.
Wow.
If you look at the back of your dollar bill, it has written there in Latin a phrase. The phrase says, Norvos Ordo Seclorum, which essentially means new world order.
Hmm.
Now, what's new world order doing on the back of your $1 bill?
Good question.
It's been there for quite a while if you study history. It's announcing the one world government. It's what it's doing. The Berlin Wall came down in 1989, and just 2 short years later, President George Bush Sr. said, now this is during Desert Storm, maybe you remember Desert Storm in 91, he said this, "This is not America against the Iraqi people. This is Saddam Hussein against the world."
Hmm.
In other words, what he's saying is Saddam Hussein is challenging the one world government here. We made a 27 nation coalition army to take down this one president.
Wow.
George Bush also said this invasion of Iraq is the first test for the new world order.
I had some friends that went over there.
Did you really?
I graduated around that time, a couple years later, so my friends were sent over to Iraq and overseas to deal with the Desert Storm as part of that.
Well, so Germany's deadly wound was healed, and then right after that, here comes the New World Order beast, birthed onto the world scene. We're hearing about it and seeing it over and over and over again. Let's read Revelation 13 and 4.
"And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?"
So Saddam Hussein couldn't make war with him. I mean, Saddam Hussein against the whole world, who's going to win that battle? Of course, the New World Order did win that battle. Thus, we are seeing this New World Order system, and it's gaining a lot of power on Earth right now. Mm-hmm. It seems pointless. If you're a king and you have a nation, it almost seems pointless to fight against the edicts of the United Nations, the one world government, because if they vote against you and they form a coalition, it's you against the world.
Yeah, that's not going to work out.
How are you going to defeat the whole world? I don't care how strong you are. So just like scripture says, they ask the question, who is able to make war with the beast? I mean, you can do it, but
It's foolish. It's a losing effort.
It's a losing effort. You're going down. So let's read Revelation 13 and 5.
"And there was given unto him,"
the Antichrist,
"a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
So apparently the Antichrist, who's going to be the dictator of this one world government that we're studying about, he's going to be quite an orator. He's going to be blaspheming Jesus Christ, which is the God of heaven. The scripture says that the Antichrist will reign for 42 months, which is 3.5 years, specifically 1,260 days on the Jewish calendar. And scripture teaches that he will begin his reign at the time of the abomination of desolation. Now, that's the midway point of this final 7 years. We remember from our last podcast, or several podcast shows back, we discovered that there will be a 7-year peace treaty signed. And when it's signed, you have 7 years to the return of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, where he basically becomes king over all the earth. Well, in the middle of that 7-year peace treaty, the Antichrist comes in. He begins his reign at a time called the Abomination of Desolation, where he walks into that newly rebuilt Jewish temple, stops the animal sacrifices. He declares that he is God. He institutes the Mark of the Beast, 666, and for 3.5 years, he reigns, and it's a terrible time on earth. We call it the time of the Great Tribulation. It's a time of great persecution, especially for saints on the earth and for the Jewish people. And so that's where we're at on the timeline.
Right.
So let's read Revelation 13 and 1, and let's kind of do a recap of what we learned, because I know we're throwing a lot out here, Brother Brian.
Right.
And we just kind of want people to wrap their brain around it. You might have to go back and listen to this a few times before you get it. Let's start back at Revelation 13 and 1, and as you read, I'm going to kind of interject what we've learned from each of those segments.
Okay, this should be good then. Revelation 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast."
Okay, so a beast. In this case, we're talking about a world-dominating empire.
Rise up out of the sea.
Rise up out of humanity.
Having seven heads.
This is seven world empires, the last world empire being located in Rome or in Europe, the power base of Germany.
And ten horns.
So ten kings are going to unite in this last world empire.
And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy.
Okay, so these ten kings that are going to rule along with the Antichrist, they're going to blaspheme God and come against Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation 13 and 2, John sees the beast merge, the same beast from Daniel 7. Daniel 7 has those four beasts we talked about. He sees them merge together to create a combo beast or a one world government, the New World Order. According to verse 2, this one world government will have the body of a leopard. We learn, which means that Germany is its home base. This is a European one world government. It will have the feet of a bear, meaning its mobilizing army forces will be led by Russia. We have proof that that's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon. And it will have the mouth or the language of the lion, meaning English will be the main global language, which the United Nations has already declared it to be. And we learn in verse 2 that the dragon, who's that?
Satan.
Satan is going to give this world government its power, its seat, and great authority. So this is all the devil's idea. This is not God's idea. The plan of Satan with all this is to control you. He ultimately wants to force people to worship him rather than Jesus Christ as God.
He's always been seeking worship.
He really
has.
That's
why he's cast out of heaven.
That's exactly why. He said, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. He's always wanted that worship for himself. Maybe you've met people in life that had to be in the limelight.
I've heard you say we're no closer to the Satan than we are when we want the worship and the glory.
You know, God wants us to be humble.
Yeah, he does.
It can't be all about us, really, in the end. So, and then in Revelation 13 and 3, John sees the timing of this New World Order's arrival. That being immediately after Germany's deadly wound was healed, or the fall of the Berlin Wall. That's sort of when the process of globalization began. It was really began picking up steam. And when the Ten Kings, this is my personal opinion on this, when the Ten Kings unify and they solidify the soon coming one world government of the Antichrist, perhaps that's when the conclusion of the healing of this deadly wound is done. Because remember, it represents the resurrection of one of the heads. And in this passage, one of the heads represents the world dominating empires.
That's right.
So basically, the rebirth of the Holy Roman Empire is complete. Now, it starts with Germany. Right? But it ends with the whole of Europe being reborn, the Holy Roman Empire. So in Revelation 13 and 4, John sees the New World Order beast gaining power, gaining strength in the world, and people pledging their allegiance to it. And in verse 5, John sees a powerful orator that's blaspheming Jesus Christ. We call him the Antichrist. He rules for a quick 42 months. It probably won't seem quick, but 42 months will be quite long enough. Mm-hmm. And this time period is known as the Great Tribulation.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is.
So God is incredibly detailed, isn't he, about all these facts?
Well, really. He really is. To look at it now, to think that 2,000 years ago, obviously, it couldn't have meant to John what it means to us today in terms of these countries didn't even exist.
Right.
But now it's becoming more and more clear the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
It is. We have a clear picture of all these major nations that are going to play a part, unifying this one world government. It's going to be led by the Antichrist. We see the European Union is destined to dominate this forming one world government. We see that Russia is destined to be its military might. So right now you look at politics and it looks like Europe is afraid of Russia. They've got NATO to protect them from Russia. But really, in the end, they're going to be in cahoots.
That's right.
Those walls are fixing to come down. They're going to unify. We see Great Britain is destined to play a major role of it. You've heard of Brexit. perhaps. Mm-hmm. They've tried, well, we're going to get out of the European Union. We're going to do our own thing. Don't let it fool you. By the end of the day, they're going to be right in the middle of the European Union. They're destined to play a role there. But notice, and we're closing with this, the Eagles' wings from Daniel 7 are gone.
I did notice that. That's fantastic. So in Daniel, we've learned about the Eagles' wings being on the lion.
Yes.
And but yet when we get to Revelation and it forms that beast, it's not there.
It's not there. And really truthfully, I got to say this too. I don't see the four wings of a fowl there either. What if they're wiped out in this six trumpet war? We've wondered if America, being the eagle, would be wiped out in this six trumpet war, except for the fact that we see the eagle later protecting the nation of Israel during the Great Tribulation. So it appears that the United States of America will be on earth when Jesus returns, but we will not be participating in this one world government of the Antichrist. And that's good news.
That is really good news.
It looks like we're protecting the nation of Israel all during the time of the Great Tribulation, which awesome. Could mean that we're a great place for end time revival if we get people over
Praise
here
God.
And get them safe from the Antichrist. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our lesson on the one world government. There's so much more to it, but that's all we have time for today. And now it's time to get back to our Bible trivia.
All right, so here we are going to do the memory challenge. We read Acts chapter 19. We're going to ask them questions. We're just going to pause for, you get 3 seconds, and then we're going to tell them the answer. Is that fair?
I like that.
Okay, 3 seconds, all you get. Say it out loud wherever you're at. Only it's just between you and God. And if you get each one you get correct, you get a point and do your best here. Okay, so the first question is, what two preachers are mentioned in the scriptures that we read?
Oh, in Acts 19.
Acts 19. What two? There's only two we mentioned.
One, two.
Go ahead, Reverend. What were the two?
Apollos and Paul.
Okay, so you get a point for each one of those you remember. All right. The next one was, what city did this occur in?
Three, two, one.
All right, that would be Ephesus.
Ephesus.
All right, hope you got that one right. Now, this is interesting. In verse 3 that we read, how did they respond to the question, unto what then when you baptized? Think about that. They were asked, unto what then when you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptized. So those disciples were only baptized unto John's baptism. The next question, do you get a point if you get this right? When they heard this, what did they do? So they heard, as a follow-up, what did they do when they heard?
They went on vacation.
They were baptized at John's baptism, but they had to do something when they heard that. And the answer is, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Ooh.
And in verse 6, when apostle number 2, but that was Paul, right?
Yeah.
When Paul laid his hands on them, what two things did they do? All right, so think about it. Remember, these were disciples.
They did the hokey pokey.
No,
they turned it all around.
They did turn themselves around. And so the answer is not the hokey pokey, but it's they spake with tongues and prophesied. So yes. You got all those right, or hopefully you got as many points as possible.
There's another one, though. How many men were there?
That's right. The last question, because this is like the bonus. How many men were there? It's like one of the last things. Actually, it was the last word that we read. Answer this question.
12.
All right. Add up all those points and see where you fit on. Listen to it again. Rewind the podcast if you have to, because that's a great part, something we need to understand and learn.
If you get 7 or more, you're flying high like an eagle. 5 to 6, you have a need for speed in your Corvette or Lamborghini. If you did 3 to 4 correct, you're a galloping horse. 1 to 2, you're camelback speed. If you got 0,
wah, wah, wah.
Giant tortoise.
Yeah, you're riding.
Go on a pray.
Turtle. Yeah, on a turtle. It's not good.
And now it's time for the personal application.
All right, I'm going to take this one, as I often do, but it's really important that we consider the next generation of everything we say and we do. So I have a moment that spoke to me. At our church, once a year in January, we have a week long of prayer. It's an amazing event. Starts on a Tuesday night, goes through Thursday night for 1 hour each. And everybody comes to the church. 500 plus people are there because they know that we're devoted to the Lord and something great is going to happen. And what happens is we get a children's evangelist to work with the children, and the adults are in the main sanctuary. And so what I do, being a children's minister, is I usually spend Tuesday and Wednesday night with the kids only. And Thursday and Friday, I go out with the adults. But usually after I'm done Thursday or Friday, we have a big long line where you go through for special prayer. When I get done walking through line, I go back up and work with the kids. So on this particular night, I went through the line with my wife and I said, I'm going back up to see with the kids because they're going to be praying at the altar and I want to be a part of that. So I go upstairs with the kids and I said, Lord, I'm only going to have a couple minutes because their attention span is so short, right? Mm-hmm. And when I go up there, I want to just lead me to that child that I can really help. I get up there and I start praying for some children. I just didn't feel like I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to do other than just, and I looked over and there was a little child, little Kimmy, and she was standing there and everyone else had their eyes closed and praying, but her eyes were open and she was looking around. Well, here's the thing. She was at the front of the altar. She came all the way to the front, which told me something right there. Yeah. She wanted something of the Lord because they said, if you want to come pray, come. She came all the way to the front and I walked over there and I said, Kimmy, what are you thinking about? Because she's just looking around and she's like, well, and she said, how do I get baptized? I said, oh, you want to get baptized? She goes, yes, I do. I thought, well, now I know where God directed me, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I have to ask you one question because she's only about 8 years old, so she's young. Right. I said, I have to ask you a question. If you need to answer this first. I said, why do you want to be baptized? And she took her little hand and made this motion, the circular motion over her heart. And she said, I want all my sins washed away. Oh. I want to be clean like that. And she kept, oh, man, my heart melted right then.
Precious.
I said, Kimmy, let's go talk to your mom. And guess what? Her mom rarely comes to church, rarely. Her grandma brings her, but her mom happened to be there that night. I walked Kimmy, we went all the way down, and I told her mom and her grandmother, and her sister was there, and her sister said, hey, I want to get baptized too. Her sister was 10, and she goes, Mom, can I? And I said, you know, now I knew her sister knew about baptism and all that, but we sat there and we talked about what it meant and why it was important. And her mom said, well, I got baptized here about 10 years ago at this church. And her mom was like, I don't come very often, but I'm here. Let's do this. Well, we get over there and we go up there and we baptize them. And well, here we are. We're standing at the baptismal tank. Mm-hmm. And it's time for Kimmy and Tiffany to get baptized. And Kimmy, I looked at her and she was scared. Aww. She said, I'm scared. She told me that. I was standing right there. I said, Kimmy, it's going to be okay. And, you know, she's not real excited about water, apparently. And so I said, it's going to be okay. This is going to be exciting. So she gets in there. She says, I'm nervous. It was really cute. Anyway, in Jesus' name, they say, and they baptize her. She comes out of the water, and then she comes up out, and she steps out of the water, and now her sister's getting ready to get in. And she stopped right there at the top. And her sister couldn't get in because she was blocking the way.
Right? Oh, my.
And I said, Kimmy, what's going on? She goes, I want to jump right back in. She said it was great. And you know what? That right there, I want to finish the story. Tiffany, her sister gets baptized. They take them back to do all this. I leave because now everyone's gone by now. It's been an hour after church left. Everybody's mm-hmm. gone, but just a handful of people helping. And I get a message on social media that her two brothers that were there playing and goofing around, they also got baptized that night too. When they came and found out what happened, neither of them had been baptized in Jesus' name. They're older too. They're like 11, 12, uh-huh. and they both. So all four children got baptized that night. Wow. But what was so great about that wasn't just that lead them to the baptism and that, but the fact was that led and sparked a revival, and over 20 children got baptized in Jesus' name in the next year. And that was that was a big focus right there. And the point I wanted to make was that the little ears are listening to what we say. There's little mouths that speak, little ears, but they hear and see and do what we do. And so that's so important in every part of our life, that whenever we make a statement, whatever we do, whether it's for the Lord or if it's not for God, they see it and they hear. And that really spoke to me, that there's little ones listening and mimicking everything we do.
Wow, that is so powerful. And to think these precious little kids knew that if they were baptized, their sins would be washed away. And they really desired it. It wasn't like you coerced them. They wanted to be baptized. That's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, this born-again process isn't just for those little children you spoke of. It's for everyone that's out there. By the way, if you don't know what it means to be born again, check us out at BibleProphecyShow.com. That's BibleProphecyShow.com. There's a link on there called Born Again. Click on the link, read the article, apply it to your life. Make sure that you're right with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ really is coming back soon.
That's right. And just send a link to this podcast to a friend or family or somebody. You know, and as we wrap up our show today, remember, the most important thing is to be ready. And until next time, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. Tune in next week for another exciting episode, or visit us online at BibleProphecyShow.com, where you can listen to all of our podcast shows, enjoy our blog, and learn how to be born again to make heaven your home.